Father, I thank you for this first service in this beautiful sanctuary. I know that church is more than a building. I know that church is more than these pillars and these walls. But I can't help that you choose human spaces to visit. You acknowledge places we meet, and you bless it with your presence. So, Lord, we're so grateful that we get to be here, that we get to partake in what you have done here and what you will continue to do here. And we thank you that it's truly bigger than us. And we say, let your kingdom come and your will be done. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, amen. So we still got some business to take care of, guys. We got to go through the book of Daniel. And again, this next month, we're going to finish off the book of Daniel. And then I think September, when we all start getting back together, we're going to start a brand new series in this place. So get ready for that. But how many of you guys are ready for the Word of God? Say, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So the sermon title is Not What I Expected. We're still on chapter 9. I promise you, this is the last sermon from chapter 9. Okay, and then we're going to go to chapter 10, and then we might do chapter 11 or 12, but maybe not, because chapter 11 and 12 is like literally Daniel on some shrooms, and you like, there's visions upon visions, and you don't know what the heck he's talking about, so we might not do that, but we may do that, we'll see. And if it gets too hard, I'll ask Pastor Jeanette to preach it. All right, because she loves that kind of stuff. How many of you guys know we need scholars in the house? All right, all right. Hey, what? All right. What the... Chapter 9, verse 20. This is Daniel. While I was speaking and praying. Everyone say speaking and praying. All right. This is Daniel saying, while I was speaking and praying, confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and making my request to the Lord my God for his holy hill, while I was still in prayer, Gabriel, the man I had seen in the earlier vision, came to me in swift flight about the time of the evening sacrifice. He instructed me and said to me, Daniel, I have now come to give you insight and understanding. As soon as you began to pray, As soon as you began to pray, a word went out. A word went out from who? From God, right? Which I have come to tell you, for you are highly esteemed. Therefore, consider the word and understand the vision. 77s are decreed for your people and your holy city to finish transgression, to put an end to sin, to atone for wickedness, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy place. Okay, 77s. It's going to be a long time before all of the visions come to pass, is what he's saying. Verse 25, let's do 25 and maybe 26. Know and understand this, from the time the word goes out to restore and rebuild Jerusalem. Remember, this was Daniel's prayer. Oh God, restore and rebuild Jerusalem. Take us back home. We don't want to be in exile anymore, right? Until the anointed one, the ruler comes, there will be 77s and 62 sevens. Basically, 400 some years, close to 500 some years will pass. It will be rebuilt with streets and a trench, but in times of trouble. So a lot of trouble will pass before more good things happen. After the 62 sevens, this is so confusing, the anointed one will put an end, put to death, and will have nothing. The people of the ruler will come, will destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end will come like a flood. And then it goes on and it gets worse from there. So what is this saying? Let me summarize real quick, okay? Daniel's praying. Daniel's repenting. Daniel's saying, please take us back to our home. Please restore us. Please bring back some semblance of peace and stability in our lives again. Take us home, God. Take us home. And he's praying and seeking the Lord. And Gabriel shows up and says, the minute you began to pray, a response was given. That's what he means by a word went out. And isn't it interesting that when the word went out, it didn't instantly come to Daniel? Isn't that interesting? that it took time to get to him. You would think that God Almighty, who is God Almighty, would be just like, I heard you, right? I heard you. The minute you pray, you hear an answer. Why would there be any distance for Almighty God? We don't know. All we know from this text is it took time to get to him. Okay? And then he's praying for peace. He's praying for restoration. And the angel basically says there's going to be a lot of more problems and a lot of more heartache before the final restoration takes place. But I want to tell you, what you're praying for will come to pass. It just won't come to pass in the time that you think it should come to pass. But God has answered, and God will answer, and God will restore. It's just going to be a long time. But I'm here to tell you because you are highly esteemed. This is what I found out from this text. This text has a lot to teach us. And the first thing it has to teach us is this, that prayer is the native tongue of believers. It is the air that we breathe. It is not some cuisine that we make an appointment for and get once in a while. It is the breath of your life. It is the sustenance of your everyday. It's like Christians around the world right now are trying to live without any air. We are suffocating Christians. Forget about moving in power. Forget about moving in victory that Jesus has for us. We're barely alive because we don't know how to breathe. And that breath, that intake, that inhale and exhale is prayer. You know, if God said, Brian, you have a choice in how you will die someday. You can jump off a cliff. I probably won't do that. Someone can push you off a cliff. You can be in a war zone and then get shot by a, this is kind of getting violent, right? You get shot, or you can drown. You know what I'll do? Shoot me, kill me, throw me. Don't let me drown. That is the worst kind of death to me. Do you guys not agree? Have you ever suffocated? Have you ever not had air? We were in Hawaii recently as a family, and I thought it was a great idea to not buy regular snorkeling gear. I wanted to buy the new kinds that was a huge face kind. You know the huge face kind, where it's just a huge glass on your face, right? And it suctions onto your face, okay? And then there's this one little snorkeling thing, right? But what's crazy is other former snorkeling gear, you guys are like, this is going way off track. I know, just stick with me, okay? Regular snorkeling gear, when you go underwater, even though you mess up, the water goes in and the water goes in your mouth and nose, and you know you're in a bad place, right? But at least it goes into your face, and then you come out. This thing is so deceiving. You think you're okay. But what happens is there's this little ball that when it feels water about to come in, the ball locks it. It locks the hole. And so you don't get any air, right? So you think you're having a great time, and I'm swimming, and next thing you know, I'm suffocating. And this thing is like pressing my face, right? And then you're like, you're putting your head up to hopefully get some air, and there is no air. You went down too far. And so again, the thing is pressing. And I thought to myself, this is where I die. This is a horrible way to die. But can I be honest with you? Really, I know this is a metaphor. I know we're just kind of making light of it. But most of us, because we don't pray like Daniel does here, not only do we not get any responses that we want, not only are we not aware of things that are happening in the dimensions of God, not only do we not know anything, we're suffocating. We're suffocating. And yes, you can power through for a little bit. You can swim a little bit longer by your own strength, but eventually you die. Most Christians, I believe their faith wanes and fades away, not because the church sucks, not because other people suck, not because everything sucks, because everything sucks, Everything already sucks. We know that. It's not because of that. It's because we don't breathe. We are not praying people. You know what I love about this church? You know what I love about Episcopalians and Anglicans and all these old school traditional churches? Is they pray. They pray in the morning, they pray in the afternoon, they pray in the evening. There is a discipline of breathing. This is one thing we can inherit. This is one thing we can learn while we're here, is how important. You know what's so funny is Daniel doesn't just pray here. He says, while I was speaking and praying, confessing my sin and the sin of my people, I was making my request known to God. And you're thinking, oh, this is chapter 9. This is probably him just doing this at this moment. But we see in chapter 6, it says that he prayed 3 times a day, just as he had always done, is what the text says. You gotta understand, this moment is not just some idea that he had. Oh, maybe I should pray. I think time's about to end soon. I think we might return from exile. Maybe I should pray and fast and repent. No, he was most likely, he knew what to pray because he was praying. He knew that something was up. He was in the Word of God because he made time to breathe. He made time to be in prayer. The thing that chapter 9 tells us, before we get to chapter 10 and before we finish the book of Daniel, we have to capture the spirit of Daniel. And that spirit of Daniel is this. Doesn't matter how strong I am. It doesn't matter how smart I am. It doesn't matter what kind of positions I have in Babylon. Don't matter. I need God. This is the air I breathe. You are the air I breathe. So we find him praying. Oswald Chambers says, we tend to use prayer as a last resort, but God wants it to be our first line of defense. We pray when there's nothing else we can do, but God wants us to pray before we do anything at all. COVID hits. We had to let go of our lease at that Vision Church in Anaheim that many of you guys know about. And we were panicked. You know, you guys probably look at me and go, PB, I can never imagine you as a panicked person. I can always only see you as a brave soul. But I remember in prayer, feeling like God was asking us to take a step of faith and let go of that building. And this was way early on in COVID when we did not know it was going to last 511 days till now. Okay, this is way early. This is when we thought, COVID, what a nasty cough, right? And we felt like we needed to get rid of that lease. So I remember calling them, and I remember saying we have to stop. And I remember asking the staff, the board, and the pastors, we're all praying, and we knew it was a risk, but in prayer, we felt peace. But guess what? After we canceled it, it's not over. Every day, I and others in our church and leaders and our intercessory team, we sought God, because guess what? We don't know what to do now. What do? Where's the building? Church buildings are not like something, walk down the street, hey, can we just rent your house? Can we rent this 7-Eleven? We can't do that. We need the right place, right? And so many things have to come together, right? The children's space, safety, wheelchair access, what kind of culture they have, what kind of theology the churches have. Everything has to match. And then do we get along with the people here, right? So many things had to come together. We had to pray. We had to seek God every step of the way. Amen? So it wasn't the last thing we resorted to. It was the first thing we resorted to. The first thing we do. Many of you guys are in situations where you're asking like Daniel, you're in prayer, God, give me direction. God, give me a rescue. God, give me provision. Whatever you're asking for. Well, let me say this, whatever you're hoping for, and you're doing it by your might and your own striving first. I want you to, yes, participate in what God's doing. I want you to input. I want you, like, if you're looking for a job, you should be sending resumes, not being like, if God wants me to have a job, God will just give it to me. No, send your resume out, right? Do your part. But are you praying? Let the right people see this, Lord. Let the right company see this, Lord. I want to be in the right company. I need the right job, not just the best kind of job that pays me the most. I want the right place with the right people that I should be a salt and light to. Come on, Lord. I want to be in your will, not just have my way. The second thing we can learn from Daniel in this moment in Daniel chapter 9 is that the book of Daniel teaches us that God is listening even when we don't think he is. I want you to see this. The angel says to Daniel, Daniel, I have come to give you insight and understanding. As soon as you began to pray, a word went out, which I have come to tell you, for you are highly esteemed. A word went out. How many times do we begin prayer and we quit because we assume he's not listening? Let me ask you a question without making you feel embarrassed about this, okay? When's the last time we prayed something through? Not we prayed, but we prayed till the end of the allotted time. PBM, this is I'll just use a joke, okay? PB, I want a girlfriend. That's a joke, okay? Have you been praying? Yeah. How long? One day. How long have you been on those apps? 3 years. Faithfully paying for the membership. Oh. What if you prayed 3 years? And then Gabriel shows up with a wife. No, I'm just kidding. Gabriel shows up. Gabriel shows up and says, since you turned your heart to me, you had my attention. This moment is very revealing. The minute you began to pray, he says, a word went out. It wasn't even God just going like, what's he talking about? He anticipated there was a word already ready for Daniel. Can you imagine, first of all, the horror of the story if Daniel didn't pray? And then the next horror is if Daniel didn't pray it through, we would not have this moment in history. Now, I know Daniel's praying for big things, national issues, huge issues of sin and restoration and redemption, but God cares even about us. God cares even about us. This big issue should not make us go, oh, maybe he only answers big things. What this big moment should do for us is, if he cares about such big things, definitely he would care about little things too. For nothing is too big or small for him. He cares for us. So the second thing I want you to get today, before we close today, is this. Not only Daniel teaches that God's people pray, but Daniel also teaches us that God hears. And because he hears, we pray it through. Right now, before we move on, I want you to think about something that you should pray through. Usually, it's the very thing that's causing you pain. Usually, it's the very thing that you're complaining about with your friends. By the way, I found that when people say, I have been praying about this situation with so-and-so, what they really mean is, I have met them at a coffee shop and just complained to them for an hour. That's what they're really saying. They're not saying they prayed. Daniel was not at a coffee shop complaining to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Daniel was on his face praying, God, save us. God, restore us. Come on, church. Do you have an issue with your kid? Pray. Do you have an issue at work? Pray. What is something that you have to pray through that you know God wants to answer? You know God cares. So I ask this question. If you cared, and if God cared, how long shall you pray? What is it, guys? Lock it down right now before I move on. What is something you have to pray? Can I tell you something? My dad, I think some of you guys follow my Instagram. There's at least three people that follow my Instagram. So you guys know this. I posted a picture a little while ago. My dad, who started going to church. My dad is literally anti-church man. Hates the church. There was one time he stood in front of a Korean church and cussed the church out. He yelled at the pastor to come out. And I think the pastor came out onto a balcony, like looking down. Right? It's like a total movie scene. And my dad just cussed him out. He hates the church. My mom prayed for him for 40 years. Over 40 years. Do you know how many times throughout those years I said to mom, "Mom, some things God don't want happening." I thank this man and God don't get along. I said, "I don't know, Mom. I think we should pray about other things." You know what my mom used to always say to me? "I will pray for other things, but what kind of a woman am I if I'm not praying for your dad to get saved? But leave me alone." She would say that to me. "I'm praying for my husband," right? And I would, because she has a heart for missions. Her dream is to be somewhere painful. And like, so I used to always be like, "Mom, just go." Like, this, I'm such a bad son, right? I'm like, "Mom, Dad will be okay. Leave him. Leave him. He's fine. He don't even want to do stuff that you want to do. Go. Go to missions. Live for Jesus. Die for Jesus." Because that's her dream. She wants to die. She wants to die while serving her last meal to someone. Like, "Jesus Christ," you know? That's her dream. You know what she says to me? "How can I go preach the gospel to other places when my own husband don't know the Lord yet?" I said, "What the crap, Mom? Give it up." Guess what? I'm 44 years old. She's been praying for this man since I was born. She met Jesus right after I was born. So she's been praying for him since. Okay? She became a Christian when I was like a couple months. She's been praying for 44 years. And recently, my dad, I meet my dad, and he's all like shy around me for some reason. You know, and I'm like, "What's going on?" My dad is usually not like this. And then I was like, "Something's wrong." And my mom grabs me and goes, "He went to church." I took him to church. And he went. And so then I thought, "Oh, you mean he drove you to church?" Because he drives her to church and drops her off. And then he leaves. He goes, "No, he went inside." And I was like, "You went inside?" And then and you know what she said? "And he liked it." And now he goes to church. You got to understand, this is very weird for me. It's like reading about Pharaoh going to the temple, going to a synagogue. It's really weird for me. But can I ask you something? I think my mom just was kind of being like Daniel. "I'm going to pray through. I'm going to just pray through." Maybe prayer is not a moment. Maybe prayer is a movement. Maybe it's flowing for years and years. That was good, huh? It's because we're live. So God says, "Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you." My mom was in anguish. She was anxious. She was heartbroken over my father not knowing Jesus. So she casted it onto him every day. I think she prayed for him every day. One time, she opened her Bible, and a picture of my youth pastor fell out. And I said, "Why do you have a picture of my youth pastor?" I'm now a grown man, okay? It was like a couple years ago. And she said, "Oh, I used to pray for your pastor every day." I said, "How long?" She said, at least 10 years. And then she said, one day she felt a release that she was to no longer pray for him. And I said, who'd you pray for next? She said, I pray for you. Because you and Echo began. The book of Daniel teaches us that the answers to our prayers are not always what we expected, though. So for 40-some years, my mom didn't get an answer she wanted or expected. How do we know this? Well, in chapter 9, this is a heartbreaking moment, but Gabriel says, 77s are declared or decreed for your people in your holy city. Basically, at the end, he says, there will be 7 sevens and 62 sevens. You don't have to do the math. You know what this means? He basically says, you're dead. You're dead when this comes out. You won't live to see the answer of God. And just imagine you praying every day and the Lord shows up. Imagine my mom praying every day for 40 years. And imagine, come on, somebody, God showing up to her and saying, daughter, I love you. I got you. I'm going to do what you asked, but you're going to die before you ever see your husband come to church. You know what my mom would have done? That's okay with me. I'm going to still pray. Because the answer to the prayer is not dependent on your witness of it. Does this make sense? The answer to your prayer is God just doing it. He has to witness it, and the heavens witness it. You don't have to witness it. All the dreams that God gave this church starting 13 years ago, what if I die before all of it comes to pass? So, it's not about me. As long as his dream for this church comes to pass. But I sure want to partake in the prayers that push this river forward. Amen? So there is an answer. Everyone say, there is an answer. But it may not be your timing. Oswald Chambers continues in that famous quote. He says, most of us would prefer, however, to spend our time doing something that we will get immediate results for. We don't want to wait for God to resolve matters in his good time because his idea of good time is seldom in sync with ours. So we don't pray to get the answer on our time. We pray for his kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven in his time. We're just praying that it happens. That's our dream. Let it happen. Let it be so. So, prayer is not only an act of faith, but it is an exercise in relinquishing control. Let me say it again. Daniel teaches us that prayer is not just an act of faith, but it is the discipline of letting go of things and trusting God. I trust you. I want you. I trust you. I want your will, but I trust you. Yeah? So Thomas Keating, and I'm almost done here. Thomas Keating, in The Human Condition, he says, prayer is also an exercise of letting go. God has not promised to take away our trials, but to help us to change our attitudes towards them. That is what holiness really is. In this life, happiness is rooted in our basic attitude toward reality. Daniel is now discovering that his world probably won't change in his time. His prayers are not going to be answered in his time. So why continue to pray? Because prayer gives you the strength to face current reality while giving you hope to anticipate God's will. Strength for today, hope for tomorrow is what prayer does for us. You know, I want to talk about something very sad before we move on. And I think we have to address this as a church. We prayed for many days for our sister in our church during COVID, who eventually passed. And I'm going to address this now. And many people in our church got devastated. Some even like considered losing their faith. They're like, what good is prayer? What good is God if these things don't come to pass? What good? Why do we even pray like that and fast like that? Prayer sometimes doesn't happen. The answer to the prayer doesn't happen sometimes in our timing. And she passed away. But a prayerful person doesn't live in falsehood and in fantasy. We now face this new reality that she passed, and we're able to endure the grief because of prayer. And because he's with us, we're able to now see this reality with hope in us. And so it didn't happen. She didn't get better. Israel didn't get saved for another 400 some years until Jesus came, right? Right? But what do? We don't go, I don't believe it. I don't want to believe it. Or I don't want to believe you now. Or I don't want to believe in prayer. No, we use prayer and we go, God, it didn't work. What I wanted didn't happen. But because you are still alive, I can deal with today and this reality with your strength. Knowing that death, even death, does not have the final say. So when we stood above that grave and we lowered dear Angela, our sister, down into the grave, yes, we're grieving, but we grieve with deep hope. We don't grieve now with despair as in, dang it, our petitions weren't answered. It is over. No, it is over for today, but it is not over permanently. So yes, she's dead. Yes, she's passed. But we now go, fine, we deal with this today. And we grieve with this, knowing that this happened. This is life. So we deal with this reality. Israel is not going to be safe for 490 whatever years. Daniel has to deal with that. But then Daniel now lives in his present life with the future hope, because there will be a final deliverance. Isn't that what our faith is about? Even when our prayers don't get answered, we know when Jesus comes back, we know when the saints all rise, we know in the resurrection of all things, everything we've ever hoped for in Christ will come to pass. It will come to pass. No? That's what we hear. Church is not a place for just soothing of pain. Church is a place where we remind the saints there is a better future in Christ. But today, we suffer. But we suffer with that reality that God still is alive and he will answer someday, even if it's 70 times 7. Someday, I am going to see Angela. I will. Not in death. Not in sorrow. I'm going to see her fully alive. And that's the hope. The current prayer didn't get answered the way I wanted. But the hope still remains. And that hope was what shapes me still today. That's why I don't let go of my faith, because I didn't get what I wanted in my time. Because I know I'm going to get everything he wants in his time. I hope you catch that. Okay, so let me end with this. Okay, the summary is there is a time God will answer, but it may not be your time. There is an answer, but it may not be to your liking. And there is a victory, God will have his way, but it may not come without a fight or a struggle. So why pray? PB, why even pray when this might be a reality? That he might not answer in my time, and that his answer may even be something I don't like or agree with. And then the victory that Daniel was looking for will not come until way later without a fight and a struggle and lots of trouble. Why even pray? Why even pray? Why even pray? So I end with this quote, and I adapted something that Professor Dallas Willard wrote about love, and I really believe what he wrote about love is true of prayer, and I'm going to read it to you. This is my adaptive version, but if you need to focus, you can even close your eyes, but I want you to hear why we pray, even when we don't get what we want at the time we want it, okay? Are you ready? Say yeah. So haven't you ever heard people ask this question? Why pray when God already knows, when God already determined things, when God has his answers, and it may not be my time? Why even pray? I'm going to tell you why we pray as Christians. We hear Christians say, I just can't pray any longer. What's the point? And there they stop and give up on prayer. They are working at the wrong level. They should not try to pray for this and that, but try to become the kind of person who would pray always. Only so can the ideal of prayer pass into a real possibility and practice. Our aim in prayer is not to try praying for this and that, or in this and that kind of predicament, but to be a person possessed by dependence, reliance, and trust as an overall character of life. Whatever is or is not going on, the needs and the dire situations are met from that overall character. I do not come to this situation and then try to pray or determine if it's worth praying for. I come to the situation as a praying person. Oh man, I hope you catch this. What Daniel teaches us today, guys, is prayer is not a temporary practice. Daniel teaches us that prayer is a permanent posture of a Christian. You don't try to pray. You are a person who prays because you have a posture of dependence all the time. So it's not, should I pray about this? It's always, why wouldn't I pray about this? It's not, will you answer or not answer? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's almost like going to a place where there's only one chef behind that counter, and there's only one person that can provide the meal. You don't go up and go, I don't know if you're going to give me the meal I like or not, so I don't know if I'm going to ask you for a meal. Well, you will never eat. So as a dependent person, you go in and go, whatever you give me, I don't know. I don't even know if you have a meal prepared for me. But whatever, I don't care. You're the only one that seems to be able to give me sustenance. So I seek you, chef. Can you give me something? Can you give me something? Can you give me something? You're the only one I depend on. You see, prayer is not something we do. It's something that we are. What do you mean by this, PB? This is what I mean. Prayer is like somebody who's in love. You can't stop thinking about that person. Prayer is constantly thinking about God, constantly dependent, constantly conscious of God, because you're absolutely dependent and in love. This is what Daniel's teaching us. It doesn't matter that it's going to happen 400 some years later. I can't help but pray because I need you. So Christians, he is the air we breathe, is he not? Christians, let's not be suffocated in life. Let's not live trying to breathe or maybe breathe or plan to breathe. Breathe all day long. My wife and I, we don't always talk verbally, right? Like I'm at work, she's at work, or she's with kids or whatnot. I don't have a headpiece on, and I talk to her all day while I'm working. Hey, what are you doing? Hey, what are you doing now? What are you doing now? No. But guess what? I don't know about her, but I'm conscious of her all day. I am. And many husbands know this. Sometimes you're conscious of your wife because you're afraid of her. Because you're like, did I get everything she asked me to get today from the grocery store? I don't know. I'm so afraid, but I don't want to ask. Because then it will show that I didn't listen. Right? So you're conscious. And other times you're aware because you're like, oh, I want to send a love message. I love you. Right? Other times you want to ask things. You're like driving home and you go to Target. And you're like, you want to get something, but you want to make sure you get the right thing. So you FaceTime. And you go, is this the right thing? Do you ever do that? Do you ever FaceTime? I do that all the time because I'm scared to get the wrong thing. Right? Is this the right thing? Is this the right thing? Right? What am I saying? When you're in relationship with someone, they are on your mind all day. Even when you're focused, they're just on you. They're like, shh. The Lord wants to be your other. Your great other, that all day you're laying things at his feet. What do you think about this, Lord? This is on my heart. And you're not praying for just answers, even though he has some. You're praying because that's who you are. You're dependent and in love with God. Amen? So let's get the band up here. We're going to close with the song today. I think it's very appropriate. If you can all stand with me, let's close in worship. So again, prayer is a permanent posture. It's not a temporary practice. As we sing this song, I want you to pray something very dangerous if you're up for it with me. And this is such a dangerous prayer. So some of you guys may need to wait. But this prayer is this. It's so dangerous. The prayer is not, teach me to pray. The prayer is not, can you give me the discipline to pray? The prayer is, can you make me the kind of person that would pray? And such a dangerous prayer, because God will have to break you. God will have to shatter all your false selves that make you think that you have things together, that make you think that you can produce some outcome on your own. So not everyone's ready for that. It's okay. Some of you guys just need to pray, God, give me some air. I need some air. I need to pray. Okay? But some of you are ready for this. Make me the kind of person that would pray. That would always pray like Daniel. If you notice, it's no mistake that we get the story of prayer in exile. We often love, or should I say, the language of prayer is learned in exile, because it's in our brokenness we see how much we need God. Father, we come to you and we acknowledge that we are weak. And like Daniel, we want your will to be done. But we also know it doesn't always happen our way. Doesn't always happen in our time. But that's besides the point. We're learning today. We're learning today to become a people of prayer. Not just to pray about things. Not just to pray once in a while. But to become the kind of people that would always pray. Will you teach us as we come into this new sanctuary, as we come into this new season, as we're returning from our isolation and our quarantine, make us a house of prayer. Make us people who seek your face. I know that that's a dangerous prayer, but Lord, we don't want to play church. We want to be the church. We want to be the church. that worships, that prays, and that preaches the good news. Thank you for this time. Thank you for all those online. Thank you for being with us, and we ask for your blessing in this new space. We ask for your blessing over Emmanuel Church. We thank you for their hospitality. We ask that, God, that you will breathe new life into that church. God, that there will be a church full of hope and joy. Lord, thank you. May we all benefit from being in the same space of prayer and praise. We love you, and I bless you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. May Christ be victorious in your lives. Amen. Amen, guys. Yay.